our first guest is from teach.org. And I got to be honest with you. My wife is a teacher, and I hadn't heard of this. I'm a little surprised that it didn't. But it's a nonprofit partnership, Teach Connecticut. But teach.org is, they offer everything prospective teachers need to evaluate teaching and take steps toward becoming a teacher. And I guess it's all for free. One-on-one expert advice from current Connecticut teachers, how-to guides as and resources for choosing and applying to educator preparation programs, fee reimbursement. This is a this is a phenomenal organization. As I'm reading their sheet here. Well, let's bring her right on. It's Lauren Danner. Lauren, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having us.
No, it's a pleasure here. I got to be honest with you. I'd never heard of teach.org, but and my wife has been a teacher for 14 years now.
Yes, actually, it's the same thing for me. I became a teacher about 10 years ago, and we didn't really have a lot of these resources available at the time, but we've grown a lot since then.
Wow, because I was right about to say, what an outstanding organization. As I'm reading more and more about this.
Yes, I wish this was happening when I was trying to become a teacher. Absolutely.
I guess, well, you began your career as a research scientist, right?
Yes.
So what led you to teaching?
I was working as a research scientist. I absolutely loved my job. I was in a small biotech company. And unfortunately, you know, what people are going through with the pandemic is what I had, you know, a few years ago, I had lost my job. Our company had shut down. And so I faced this decision of what should I do with my career moving forward? And so, you know, in my career as a research scientist, a lot of times I would find myself training new employees in what we were doing. And, you know, I was able to share my passion for what I was doing in the lab with other people. And I really started to enjoy that. And I started to visualize myself as a teacher. So once I, you know, ended up losing my job, I took a step back and I figured, you know, now would be a great time for me to consider a new career. And so teaching was it for me.
What do you teach?
So I teach science. I'm a science teacher at North Brantford High School.
Nice. So I would guess that the need for teachers, particularly in science, right? I guess it's changed, I would imagine, due to the pandemic.
Yes. So, you know, the need for great teachers has always been there. Specifically, you know, we need a more diverse workforce so that all students have an opportunity to learn from teachers who look like them, you know, teachers that they can really see themselves in. And as you mentioned, the pandemic has certainly heightened, I think, the importance of scientific literacy. You can see we're being inundated with data every single day due to the coronavirus. So, you know, students being able to look at data and being able to analyze scientific data and use it as evidence to support claims. Those are the types of skills that we're constantly using in a science classroom. And it, as you can see, you know, it's critically important to everyone.
Right. Would you recommend teaching to people who have found themselves like out of work due to the pandemic or who may be just looking for a new career?
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the reasons why I became a teacher is because I really wanted to make a bigger impact on people. And, you know, it's really tough to see those day-to-day impacts that you have in many career fields. But as a teacher, you get to see those impacts every day, you know. And so with my role through Teach Connecticut, I'm a teacher advisor, and I've spoken to many people who are currently looking for new jobs, you know. And so what I tell them is if you feel passionate about a specific subject and you want to share that passion with others, and if you enjoy working with kids, I think teaching is definitely a career that you should consider.
Yeah. Is there a shortage of teachers, or is that over with now?
Yeah, there's always, so we have in Connecticut our shortage areas, our high need areas, for example, science and math. So there are specific high need or shortage areas where we're always looking for teachers.
Yeah, I thought there was. My wife is a teacher, like I said, and of course I know her colleagues and her friends, and when they get together and talk shop, and sometimes I'm in the room and, you know, they're talking. I remember, but it wasn't recent. It was a few years back that they were talking about the shortage of teachers. So that's why I asked that question. I don't know if they've already filled that void or if that was just an ongoing thing.
Yeah, definitely. And we always need, you know, I'm actually the science department leader, so I can see, you know, just going through hiring processes and trying to find effective teachers. It is a very difficult challenge with certain subject areas.
What qualities do you look for then?
You know, I think you're looking for someone who can really connect with students. I think, you know, to be successful in the classroom, you have to be able to build successful relationships with your students. So you're looking for someone, obviously, who's not only an expert in their content area. Of course, your content is so important. But beyond that, you're really looking at someone's personality and how they can engage students in the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, do they express and exude, you know, a passion to help students that you can see that they enjoy, you know, working with kids? Those are the types of things we're looking for.
And try to get the best out of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Always to, you know, bring out the best in them and to make them see and believe that they can be successful in a classroom. That's so important.
Sure. You know, I was checking out this article that you had written in 2019. You talk mm-hmm. about the ways that teachers support students academically and personally by encouraging them and guiding mm-hmm. them in times of need, as you just spoke about. How have you been able to maintain those connections with your students?
Yeah, so, you know, it's been tough during the pandemic, of course,
yeah.
because, as you know, we've taken on this challenge of effectively teaching in a virtual environment, you know, and so it was tough just to kind of maintain those connections. We use a variety of platforms, as we all know, Zoom, Google Meet, so you're trying to conduct live classes. You know, what I found was typically my students would thrive in a smaller group setting. So when I would have one-on-one conversations or smaller group chats with them, they typically would kind of come out of their shell because it was hard for students to kind of get used to that virtual platform and having, you know, 20 faces staring at you on a computer. And what I noticed is a lot of our conversations went beyond the content. They really centered around the social emotional needs of my students. So just checking in to see how they were doing, because with the pandemic, obviously we're all going through very unique challenges and stresses that none of us have really had to deal with. So I found that I was really focusing on, you know, how they were just doing every single day and trying to get them to just share, you know, some of the things that they've been going through.
That's great.
Are, you know, a couple of things that we've been doing.
I know you said you teach in North Branford Science. What grade?
I teach freshmen. So I love it so much because they're coming up from the middle school and it's such an important year for them.
Yeah, they're wide-eyed.
You know, your freshman year, yeah, it really sets the stage for success throughout high school, you know, so I kind of take them in. They're kind of my babies, and then I see them grow for 4 years, and then they're seniors, and now we just had our graduation.
Right.
God, but, you know, it's my favorite grade to teach. I feel very lucky to teach grade 9.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you just saw them graduate, and really, they're men and women, 18 years old, they're adults,
yeah.
But when they came in, they're kids, you know?
Yeah, it's great. And just, you know, it's nice because I miss them so much after I've taught them for a year, and then I get to still see them, you know, 3 more years, versus I feel, I feel bad for the senior teachers. They get that 1 year, and then they're gone, you know? So
well,
I get to see them and enjoy them.
Now I'm just trying to think back to my freshman year. Wow, I can't even, I don't know if I can remember much of my senior, freshman year. I remember my senior year. What is it? Is it, you don't, is it biology or chemistry? What kind of science is it?
Yeah, so it's really district to district. In North Branford, we actually teach, it's a general science, like earth and space science course our freshman year. Then we move to biology, and then we do chemistry and physics. A lot of schools do bio first and then chemistry and physics. So it really just depends on the district.
Yeah, I don't think I remember in college I took molecular biology.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. but I don't think I took that even in high school.
Yeah, bio was typically, I mean, I remember taking bio when I was in high school. That's typically when I actually went to North Branford High School, the school that I'm actually
teaching. No way, that's great. Look at that.
Yep, and so I took bio as a freshman. And I'm actually, it's so funny, I'm in the classroom where I had my very first science class as a freshman, and now I'm teaching in it. So
what a trip.
Cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What do you think is a common myth about teaching that you would like to, like, dispel?
Yeah, well, I think you could probably speak to this since your wife is a teacher. I know one of the things that we always hear about, and I've been asked this question, is, oh, how great is it? You know, you get all these snow days and summer's off, and, you know, I think that myth that centers on our work ethic and just this idea that teachers don't work as hard as other professionals, you know, I bet that you can probably share stories about your wife and how hard you see her working every single day.
Every day.
I could say the same thing. You know, and so we're, even in our summers off, as you know, we're constantly honing our craft. We're working on our curriculum. We're planning lessons. And, you know, you always get these great ideas randomly, like in the middle of the summer, I'll be watching something and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea to bring into a lesson, you know? So it's constantly thinking about how you can improve yourself as a teacher, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that's so unique about teaching is that you're always on your toes, you know, no 2 days are truly alike.
It's true.
You have new challenges that present themselves every single day. And teachers, I think, are experts at doing these challenges, these hard things. I think through a pandemic and being able to teach, that was a perfect demonstration of what we're made of as teachers and, uh-huh. and you know, how we've persevered through it all.
Yeah, I can tell you to that point that people think that, oh, you get out of school at 3 o'clock. And I can tell you my wife is working on school things until 9, 10 o'clock, if not late, especially. Well, that in a normal school year, if there was no pandemic, it, you know, 8, 9 o'clock.
Right.
But during this pandemic with the online stuff,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes she'd be up until midnight, if not even later than midnight, working on things. I mean, that's if the students thought it was a challenge for them, in all honesty, if we're going to, teachers are feeling the same, you know, stress of that. What do you, kind of a generic question, but I got to ask you anyhow. What do you think is your most rewarding, the most rewarding aspect of your job? I would imagine there's many, but what do you think is the most, single most?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. So much of our job is so rewarding. You know, I saw that in my transition as a scientist into teaching and how rewarding it was just on a day-to-day basis. I would say, really, the number one most rewarding aspect is the relationships that you form with your students. They become a member of your family.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I call them my kids. So sometimes when I'm talking to my husband, I have actual biological children as well. And sometimes when I'm talking with my husband, he's not sure if I'm talking about, because I just call them my kids. Am I talking about my students? Am I talking about my real kids? You know?
Yeah, oh, I know.
Every day you get to, you know, even in a virtual component or when you're in the classroom, you get to experience, you know, such wonderful things. You get to feel and see the excitement when your students understand something new. And then, you know, you get to see what impacts you have on their lives. And sometimes they tell it to you in real time, you know, which is so remarkable. And then sometimes years later, you know, you get a student that will reach out to you and let you know how you've helped them in some way to shape the trajectory of their career, you know, and it's, you can't get much better than that. That's pretty much, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You feel like, wow, you know, I something I said or I did mattered. And that's, you know, the power of teacher voice, I think.
Yeah, my wife teaches first grade. Okay. So there are times when we'll run into somebody because she teaches in the town that we live in. So we could run into a Starbucks we'll run into this woman, a young woman, maybe college age or just grad, and she's like, yeah, I had her my first year that I taught. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking at your credentials. You were the 2017 Connecticut Teacher of the Year?
Yes, I was.
Look at you, 2017 Excellence in Secondary Science Teaching Award for Computer Science Teachers, 2016 North Branford District Teacher of the Year, 2012 Most Inspirational Teacher from teen.com. You're the science department chair. Look at you. Well, then, you know, as we wrap up this interview, I'm reading your credentials, and just you're a breath of fresh air, first of all. Let me just tell you.
Well, thank you so much. And we really appreciate being able to put a spotlight on the teaching profession. And, you know, anything that we can do to recruit teachers, if you can go on to that teachconnecticut.org website, we've got it all there for you.
I have one final question for you before I let you go. Advice. What kind of advice would you give to someone thinking about becoming a teacher?
Yeah. So definitely utilize any resources that are available to you to help you in your decision. There are so many resources out there. I think a great first step would be to reach out to any teachers that you may know just to learn more about what a typical day is like as a teacher.
Right.
And then, as I mentioned, Teach Connecticut, we have a variety of resources available on our website. You know, it includes things like teacher work stories where you can hear and learn more about what teaching is like, and then it gives you opportunities to chat with teachers and get your questions answered, and it helps to make you, you know, an informed decision moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, it's not all roses. There's no job that's 100% rosy, but let me tell you, one of the things, and I, not being a teacher, but again, being married to one, it is extremely rewarding. My wife tells me this all the time, that sometimes when she's going, she goes, but it's so worth it in the long run, you know.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that that's why you become a teacher, right? Because you're investing into children, and you see more often than not, you see the rewards later on in life when you run into them. Sometimes they even come back into your classroom. It's like, hey, Miss Danner, Mr. Danner, how are you?
And you're always their teacher, and it is the best feeling. I know in those challenging days, I actually have a bulletin board behind me in my desk in my classroom with notes and just pictures and all of these little reminders, you know, that'll help get you through those more challenging days where
sure.
You just look and you're like, wow, that's where it's at right there. A little thank you note, that's it, you know?
Yeah, and let me tell you, there's more challenging times more as of late than ever before with the online curriculum. And, you know, just I know what you're going through. I really do. I know it firsthand. And it is, you're probably doing more work now. People would think just the opposite, and that's a huge misconception. No, actually,
yeah.
Folks, it's more work right now with and not even just the online instruction, but you know, but also with individual parents and individual
yeah.
students and so on and so forth. Teach.org, folks, if you're interested in teaching, if you've got a child interested in teaching, or maybe you just know someone interested in teaching, and there's a plethora of questions that you have, teach.org. is where you start. Lauren Danner, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
And thank you so much for having me.
Enjoy your summer.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Have a great one.